Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Torn and Keel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I thoroughly recommend checking out the podcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. I'm Alan.
Chris is I.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Heat J and Heat K of Robot Wars Revealed.
Chris is I.
I am Grizz.
I am Grizz.
So, would you like to introduce the robots from episode J?
Well, but just before that, now we get Philippa introducing us to the show with glasses. It's a nice little look for her. But she's got new glasses. I want it. So, the competitors in today's episode are Talos, Ivanhoe, GBH, Killdozer, Brute.
Don't say it.
And...
Don't say it. No. No.
The Penetrator. Get your lube out, because there's a penetration coming.
Oh, and this dick gets heavily featured in this episode.
Oh, it's going to be a bloody, bloody episode by the time we're done here with the penetrator.
You're revealing a lot about your kinks, sir. If you think there's a lot of blood involved.
Just the amount of times that the penetration is going to be happening this episode.
Okay.
And the best part is you can't do anything about it because I'm not wrong.
Okay.
You just need to let me go off on one.
So we do get a lot of Brute's build diary, and you know what? I like this team. They have a good attitude.
Yeah, they really do. It's just too bad they didn't have a good robot, but they done their best from what they were given. We start off with seeing Brute and the shell of the wheelchair where they had stripped everything away from it.
Yep.
And so this robot is announced as Talos, but when it gets introduced by the team backstage, they pronounce it as Talos.
Which is what I thought the pronunciation would be.
Hey, I'm going with the big voiceover guy. He's the... Well, okay. I was about to say he never gets it wrong. But then...
But
a certain yellow...
Off.
Well, another little certain yellow robot that appears in a few seasons' time.
Which one?
Danton Makaya.
Danton Makaya's not yellow. It's green.
This is. No, that's Spitfire.
Oh, God damn it. So it is. So, early on, we find out that Sir Kill-A-Lot is still not recovered from being slammed onto his own face.
Just before that, we get Ivanhoe with his best introduction video to apply for a job as a member of the Blue Man Group.
Uh-huh.
Bluvenhoe. But yeah, we get Glenn telling us about the gauntlet run, and Team GBH is asking them questions about like Sir Kill-A-Lot, and Glenn says, they're like, where's it going to be? And it's like, oh, in this general area. And then I'm pretty sure at one point he just says he can fuck you. And then just kind of moves on. But I'm pretty sure that's what he said. I didn't rewind it to listen to it again. I just heard it once and assumed that's what he said. And I'm just going to go on the rest of my life assuming that that's what he said. Sir Kill-A-Lot can fuck you.
I mean, as we've pointed out before, he does have a very phallic instrument.
Mm-hmm. And he does ram up an awful lot of robots' bottoms, so...
Uh-huh.
So he can fuck you. But apparently, Sir Kill-A-Lot is just not up for it today.
He's not taking his robo-Viagra.
No. I was had a late night last night and it's just not slept it off.
Yep.
Night. Long night in the town with Sir Kill-A-Lot and Robo Babe.
Yep. Matilda's jealous of him.
Oh. I'm sure Matilda gets enough tail. Because she's got a tail. We get their gauntlet runs and we get more from Brute. Video diary.
And we also find out how bad Killdozer's armor was.
Yeah. Because with Team Brute, they're clearly all just having fun at this, which is kind of sweet. It's like one of those things where it's like, see if you're one of these kids that doesn't take the being on Robot Wars too seriously and is just there to just kind of be a part of it. That's cool. As I've always kind of mentioned, it's the kids that I hate that are just convinced they're going to win, and then they come in with, like, the shittiest robot. Like, yep. Rocks. Yes, Rocks specifically. So, because Brute takes his gauntlet run, and it's the kid that's driving it, we should mention, and he tried his best. I mean, with a robot like that, there's only so much that you can do. And as we probably alluded to on the episode, the fact that it needed to run and try and knock over the wall using the wheels that it uses to drive, there's only so much you can really do.
But we also do get a good explanation as to why it has wooden wheels.
Yeah, because it was originally going to use the wheels of the wheelchair that they had stripped it from, and they were just no good.
They were too heavy.
Too heavy. Well, yeah, so...
They were dummy thick.
So it shows the kid that drove Brute after the gauntlet run, and he's, like, pure shaking. He's like, oh, I was so nervous. And it's like, well, he took it all on the chin.
Yep.
Team Talos, just before they go out, they say that they're going to go straight up the middle and then immediately turn right the second that they left the little starting position.
I'm wondering if this was a deliberate tactic, because several teams said they would do this. Wondering if this was we're going to stand wrong foot the house robot controllers.
Yeah, I think Prometheus said it in their episode as well. They were like, oh, we tried to make it look like we were going up the middle one and then try and skirt the side when all the house robots moved, but we were too slow. And it's like, well.
With that.
Yeah. Talos does pit Dead Metal, though, in a Skonklet run, and then watching all the crew try and pull Dead Metal out of the pit was quite interesting.
Yeah, because he's a chunky boy.
He's a chunky pokey boy?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pokey stuff there. Granted, it also really helped that there was a lot to, like, kind of grab onto.
Because Dead Metal is also dummy thick. That's how I like my women spiky and with a saw blade for a face.
Oh, like her from Hostel?
At some point, I'd have to download.
Or was it Hostel 2?
I'd have to download like 60 episodes because since I got this computer, I've lost all the old files for the first 100 or so episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do an out of context compilation. And somehow I think I like my women dummy thick with a saw blade for a face and spiky.
That's a hell of a sentence.
I also have on here, so we find out, so one thing they do point out when they're talking about Brutus, oh, the weight limit's 79 kilos. You could have told a load of other teams that were 80-something.
Yeah. I know, I feel like I noticed that at an earlier point.
Yeah, you did.
Because someone specifically...
When we did season two.
Okay.
So you mentioned...
But I mean, like, there was one point... Yeah, there was one point where, like, it was scrolling across the screen as well, and it was, like, 80 kilograms, and it was, like, pretty sure somebody else mentioned that, like, the weight limit's, like, 79. So, how does he get away with that?
I'm also disappointed that they didn't aim for 10 kilos lighter, and we could have had a very nice weight for robots.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of things that are not nice, why are we getting more info on Penetrator?
Because he's the Penetrator, and he's going to penetrate you. So we get GBH running its Gauntlet run.
That's a
really
bad noise to make in this context.
Yes, it is very bad. Or very good. Depends on what way you want penetrated.
We are not discussing this on a podcast.
Are you the penetrator or the penetratee at this point? That's the question.
Depends how much lube she brought with her.
I think we've established that there's going to be no lube when you're getting penetrated today. So GBH has his gauntlet run and gets its scoop practically ripped off its face. And then we see them repairing it backstage. Again, just like little things like that, just really interesting. Just like the way that they've shaped it all back and like kind of put the pins and all that in it to like hold it on and everything.
And how
Ivanhoe,
much of the robot is Scrapper?
The chassis is Scrapper.
Oh, definitely.
No, it's like they definitely said that. Like it's 100%. That's like, it's not even, it's confirmed. It's confirmed.
Yep.
So Ivanhoe, they make it to the end of the course and they do hit the back wall.
Hooray.
I think what we should do is we should go back after this, recover season two and definitively tell people which ones did officially complete the course and which ones didn't. Because it's seeming that a lot of these robots are not completing the course.
Grizz, we still have 760-odd programs to record.
Okay, what we'll do is in about 10 years, we'll revisit season two again and we'll
Sorry,
just
no, tell
re-record
a
it.
lie. We've got 368 episodes to record. Sorry.
In 10 years, we'll come back and we'll do it again. We'll just loop around. Maybe in 10 years, our opinions have changed. Turns out that Recyclops was never good.
You take that back.
I know. Do you realize how much it took for me to say that with a straight face?
Chris, you take that back, or a Cyclops is going in without lube.
Ooh. Well, as long as it gets his tongue in the right place. That's all the lube you need. That's human lube.
How much of this am I gonna have to edit out? None of it.
None of it.
Okay,
It's
it'll
all
stay
st
in.
it all stays in.
Right.
This this will be the last this will be the last time ever that I get to talk about the penetrator and make as many terrible penetration jokes as possible. So just let me have this small pocket.
So we get through the trial where Penetrator is given the chance to penetrate the pit, which it does quicker than everyone else. It
Yes.
has put it has
Yes.
performance issues.
Significantly quicker. It really does. Maybe it did too much penetrating in the first round and it just wasn't ready for a
Yeah.
second go of it that quickly. Just after the gauntlet, Philippa was sitting with Team Brute, and as they're eliminated, she says, "At least you can say you're on Robot Wars. Not many people can say that they do that." And then the kid replies, "Yeah, I like the Robot Wars, I do." And it's like, well, I would hope so, since you're here.
Yeah.
And there he goes, Brute off into the distance.
Yep.
So the penetrator does, just before it goes out for its trial, tries a strap-on of some kind, as it straps something else onto the robot to apparently cause friction, was their words, not mine. But although when you're called the penetrator, friction really is quite a significant part of the job.
Yep.
We get more penetrator or VD actually, because it's video diary of what penetrator was originally going to be, because they had because they had this little green buggy thing, and they were originally going to use that, and then they decided against it for reasons. So then you have the penetrator that's sitting next to the green buggy, and penetrator looks fucking huge. I didn't like, and I'm not, that one's not even a euphemism or a joke. It's like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I just can't help but feel as if, like, I never realized how big this robot actually is until I seen it sitting next to something else. And then it
Yeah.
immediately gets pulled in the pit by Matilda, so all of that was for nothing.
And I do think Philippa is a little bit Norfist here, because she's
Really?
quite mean to the Penetrator team, and basically
Well,
tries to.
maybe they weren't giving her what she wanted.
Well, they gave her what they wanted. They just were done far too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it happens, all right? You just need to accept that. Sometimes just when you're gonna get penetrated, sometimes it might just not last as long as you think it is. That's okay.
Yes. Anyway, moving on. So we then see the fight between.
Penetrator gets. The penetrator says that their handy friction thing fell off. That's why they got pulled in so quickly. Well. And
So we
now.
get Ivanhoe versus Killdozer.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, because apparently Killdozer says they couldn't pull Matilda into the pit because of the weird way that they sat, so their back wheels were off the ground.
Yeah.
So like they had those spikes that they said they put on for this event, which clearly helped them not get pulled in, but they couldn't pull back, so they just had to kind of sit there. But Killdozer, they took on Ivanhoe in the arenas, and Killdozer got their shit pushed in.
I do love as well, because obviously they then follow the Killdozer team afterwards and they're like, oh my god, what's been burned?
And you just have that horrible smell of burnt robot. And I think one of them nearly drops a robot on one of their partner's hands.
Yep.
That looks safe.
Yep, that indeed looks safe.
I think I'm going to go on a campaign now to find and buy the Penetrator. Do you want to get in on the Penetrator?
I'm not even going to edit out that awkward silence.
What was the awkward silence followed by the which is what made it perfect.
Yep.
Obviously edit this bit out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we then get they get the analysis of Killdozer, and thankfully they are able to save bits from it.
They say that the most important parts didn't get wrecked, which, so they're happy with that. And it's like, oh, they're still usable, we hope. Yeah, it's like a nice little we hope in there.
I wonder what percentage of those bits then got hit by Hypnodisc.
Yeah.
Like 2 years later.
Wait, who were they 2 years later?
Razorblade.
Oh yeah. They were Razorblade. I remember that now.
Yep.
I liked Razorblade. Yep, so GBH flips Talos quite quickly in their semi-final. Big Money Matt comes in to intro the finalists, doesn't say anything of note. And then GBH flips Ivanhoe in their final. Team GBH then try and force each other to do a victory dance. When they get backstage, it's like, oh, so you're going to do a victory dance? No, he does a victory dance. Okay, do a victory dance. No.
I do love that GBH, actually, because GBH's flip is crap, that's why it works.
It really does. Like, it's like, it only goes up to a certain amount. It's like, okay, now drive, and over you go.
Yeah, whereas at Chaos 2, it would just roll over.
Yeah, because the last shot of this is Team Ivanhoe explaining why they lost, and it's like, it's because they flipped us on our side. See, if they had pushed us all the way, we would have just rolled right back over. And it's like, yeah, it's not really much of a design flaw on your end, more so as it's just a design flaw on their end because their flipper kind of sucks.
Indeed.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoX with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. So, we then move on to episode 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out something really, really awful that makes me really annoyed.
What's that?
The Plunderbird team are actually quite good when they're trying not to be assholes.
Funny that, isn't it? Well,
I mean, saying that, when it came to Plunderbird, we'd been there and done that, but apparently not.
I know, we needed to get one more bit of Plunderbird goodness in here before they ride off in the sunset forever.
Surely if it's a Plunderbird, they fly off.
I don't know. I've seen Plunderbird for years, and I don't think it's probably really good at much stuff. So I feel like Plunderbird is the kind of bird that has a broken wing all the time. But Plunderbird is only one of the six robots that we will be talking about in this particular episode. So, with that being said, the other robots are Enzyme, Phoenix, Plunderbird 2, The Mule, Demon, and Megahertz.
Yep, so they do end up following Megahertz around a lot in this episode. And it is awesome to see them work, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're quite quirky little people.
Absolutely.
So we actually start off with some Megahertz video diary with them sitting at a table in the talking stages of what they're going to do with their robot. And then it scrolls on the bottom saying there's 4 weeks to go to the competition. And then as they explain that to one of the team members, they go, wait, we've got 4 weeks and we've done absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So that, like, look at that robot. That is a very fun, good-looking robot. And so they've came up with that entire concept, and then even to the point of, oh, let's make it a computer. Like, that would be hilarious. And then there's a mouse and all that. They done all that in the span of a month. Like, I'm impressed. I mean, I unabashedly love the Megahertz robot, so of course I'm probably going to say that, but I didn't realize it took a month. And another little note, the fact that there's, like, the flipper that's the keyboard, I thought that was just a picture of a keyboard. No, it's actually a keyboard embedded in it. Like, and then covered with, like, a bit of plastic.
Which would be great if it wasn't for the fact that that's completely useless as a flipper blade.
Yeah, but, you know, we're rolling with a gimmick here.
I know.
Oh, he knows as well. Yep. So Team Plunderbird say that they have stayed up till 1:30 almost every morning to work on their robot. And says, even if we had like another year to work on this machine, we would probably still be up till 1:30 every morning. And then you look at them because they're not wearing their sunglasses at that point, and Jesus Christ, do these lads look tired. And it's like, yeah, no wonder you wear those glasses.
Yeah, absolutely.
We see Plunderbird then pulling a massive car, which, again, as you kind of alluded to earlier, just free rolling.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, I kind of skipped over that bit where we saw what enzyme tested with.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
But before that, Phoenix keeps on setting itself on fire.
Which is always fun.
Wasn't Phoenix like ridiculously expensive?
Yeah, but like as a pure passing comment, they were like, "Oh, our sponsors have paid for this beautiful machine," and it's like, okay, so pretty much it didn't seem as if it came out of their pocket at all, so they didn't really care. That's maybe why they didn't bring it back.
Yeah.
So we get the gauntlet explained again. Glenn, the producer, says, oh yeah, we've got the spikes, which have already immobilized a robot, and then they go on and show a clip of Talos going over the spikes and flailing about, and as we know from that last episode, it did not immobilize Talos because Talos continued on afterwards. It did immobilize Rampage.
Yep.
So why didn't you show Rampage?
Cool.
Yeah. So then we get Enzyme. And, okay, right. Bunch of kids. I mean, they've managed to put a robot together, so they're obviously quite smart. So, I mean, what would you, as, you know, a robot builder, use as the thing to test out the strength of your robot? I mean, yourself, of course. So just stand in front of an active moving robot and just try and push it and see what happens. And then maybe get one of your friends to join you.
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. This terrifies me. I'm just sitting there going, I'm going to watch a child die.
Or at least break a leg. Yeah, just, oh man. It's just that, well, I'm going to use me to test the strength of the robot. And it's like, yes?
We've broken that safe-o-meter.
Oh no. I mean, this is like your times 1,000 and that safe-o-meter.
Oh, God, That's, I mean, there are things that I will actually say, which is fair play to them for making a test gauntlet.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was about to say. Absolutely. Like, I mean, not a bad idea. May not have been fully accurate, but...
Absolutely.
So... we get the demon running the gauntlet. Demon does not hit the wall.
Nope. Demon doesn't exist in this episode.
No, not really. Other than just when it needs to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it is kind of horrendous, to be honest, so...
Yeah, but if you trace back far enough, it is technically the ancestor of Wild Thing.
Yeah, this is Thing 1.
Yep.
Because we started at Thing 2, so logically this is Thing 1.
Absolutely.
Phoenix constantly seem to have problems going into their run, as you alluded to earlier, and then they say that they were happy and did better than expected. And as we spoke about on this episode, see, Phoenix was in literally any other episode, the distance Phoenix got would have been enough to advance.
Yep, absolutely.
And in some cases, it might have been like second because the distance was that great.
Yep.
Then Roger Plant of the Mule calls Sir Kill-A-Lot an idiot. and like 3 tons of scrap metal and something else. And it genuinely seems as if this is where the, like, so we all thought that the feud between Roger Plant and the House Robot started in season 3 after the big cheese got sliced, grated. There you go. But no, because it seems as if, like, Roger Plant genuinely holds a grudge here already. He makes fun of Sir Kill a lot. Then after his gauntlet run, which he aces, by the way, he starts making fun of Matilda because he was like, oh yeah, Matilda, she comes in and she was all high and mighty right up until I start using the flipper, and then she runs away like a little baby. Oh, I'll take on Matilda anytime. And it's like, bloody hell, you're really like willing to go up against these guys.
Absolutely, yeah, he's merciless.
Merciless indeed.
Yep.
So, yep, unfortunately, Phoenix goes out, and it's time for King of the Castle. You're a dirty rascal.
And King of the Castle has literally one redeeming feature, which is the reaction when Plunderbird come back in, having taken out 2 house robots.
Yeah, because Plunderbird take their go in the gauntlet, and they drive straight into the pit, and so everybody starts calling them chickens. So, like, this was, like, a redemption arc for Plunderbird, when they take them both out, and the ovation they got when they came back, and then everybody pure huddled around to see what they had to say after their fight was quite interesting. And then again, this was them also kind of out of character as well, as they kind of done this.
Yep.
We get Megahertz for some reason 10 days before they're about to leave. They're weighing the robot on a farm scale.
Yep.
As a cat looks on in disbelief, just like, what the fuck are they doing? Anyway, meow.
Also, we see with the Megahertz team that they've also invented some sort of machine that does this kind of weird motion. Now, I've only seen this type of machine in one context. And that is a particular type of fetishization called a fucking machine.
And you give me shit for talking about penetrator.
No, they've literally made a penetrator machine.
Yeah, that weird, yeah. I couldn't help but look at that and go, huh. Maybe you and the Penetrator should get together sometime.
Please don't.
Oh, and then you would have little baby Penetrators that are all like yellow, and then little little penetrating little penetrating desktops. Baby Penetrator. Oh. Okay, right, I think that's settled. Are those guys that make, like, custom robot, like, action figures, like, still doing their thing? Because I really want a little baby Megahertz. I think that's the one. That's the one for me.
Oh, yeah, we've got to make that happen.
Yeah. Like, I'll look into that later. So we were setting up King of the Castle, and the producer comes back, like the big head chief producer. He comes back and saying, oh yeah, we're running behind on time, which is, he only ever shows up just to say that, really. It's like, yeah, we're really running behind on time. And he's like, yeah, as they say in show business, never work with kids or animals, or I guess this is probably the third case, because obviously trying to take the house robots in and out all the time is very dangerous work and all that. So we want to try and get moving, but do we also want to try and go slowly so that nobody gets hurt?
Really? You have concerns about safety? You could have fooled me. Also,
oh,
much like...
there's the megahertz poker. It's just on TV now.
Much like... much like Cassius, everyone's afraid of the mule.
Yeah.
Which, I know it's fantastically engineered, but still, it is weird.
It is very bizarre. Like, it's lifting RAM is barely anything. It's a very bizarre robot.
The one other thing as well is I want to have a rant.
Please do. It's not as if I've had any on these past couple episodes or anything. So,
an enzyme.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath before you start.
An enzyme is not a fucking acid. An enzyme is a protein that your body produces that catalyzes the breakdown of food into smaller stuff, such as, for example, the breaking down of starch into glucose, which is essential to the operation of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I'm going to be good, and I'm not going to go too hard on it because it is children talking about this.
But you would think that their mum that is holding the camera, and when they explain, oh, enzyme, it means this, and then she could just maybe put down the camera and go, no, it doesn't.
Yep.
But no, just left them to do it. And made them kind of look stupid on TV. I mean, to be honest, I didn't know what an enzyme was. But I also never claimed to know what an enzyme was.
Yep.
There was one part during the Enzyme VT where I think it was like probably the oldest one, was about to do some welding or something. And like the main driver was kind of standing next to him, and they're like, do you want to get out of the way so we can do some welding? And so he goes, ah, scot me up, beamy, and then does that old camera trick where you pause the camera and he just disappears.
Yep.
We get the Plunderbird versus Enzyme match. So after the match, Team Plunderbird are just claiming that, oh yeah, Enzyme weren't pushing them. When it looked like Enzyme was pushing us, we were actually just driving backwards.
Now, I actually think that's out of character, so I think they're telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, it's just that kind of way that it's like, maybe we're going to give the kids like a little bit of credit. They held on the entire match against you. And then they keep talking about their RAM weapon that failed them. And it's like, I'm pretty convinced that I never once seen that RAM weapon actually attached to the robot in the entire season 2 run, so...
Yep.
So, we get Demon in their fight with the mule, and really the only takeaway we have from that is Philippa standing at the side of the arena, so when the Demon come out with their demon ears on their head, she just pretty much says, well, you look stupid and you lost. And I say, oh, thanks. And then that was it. That was probably the most screen time the mules maybe had the entire episode. It was just for Philippa to call them stupid.
Yep. I do like that when you get the mule team and the Plunderbird team after their fight, they do actually shake hands.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of kind of respect between the two of them. We get this. I mean, I think this is actually kind of cool in the way that they've done this. So they played the entire Plunderbird theme song, And then done kind of almost like a montage of like Plunderbird throughout. Like, you know, they're talking to people, they're doing things, they're robots doing stuff. And then it as like the last kind of go of the epic part of the tune. Then wah, 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 wah. That's when the final match starts with the mule. So it's like playing over the fight. So it ends as the fight ends.
Yep.
And it's like, say whatever you want about obviously Plunderbird team and all that, but that editing was pretty fucking cool.
Oh, it's brilliant. Absolutely.
We get Roger Plant after the fight. He's just sitting there going, I'm on like 5% battery. Not the mule, me. I'm absolutely fucking knackered.
Which you would be. Absolutely.
Yeah. Then, as you alluded to, we get the respect from both teams. And then to round out the episode, we get the plunder bloopers.
And as I said, you know what? Because, right, let's be clear. We have shat on the Plunderbird team a lot anytime they've been brought up recently. We will explain why the next time we see them, because it will be the last time we see them. So we will actually explain that. But they are really awesome in this episode.
Yeah. I don't know, I mean, it is what it is. Like, so, but anyway, as we say, we will explain next time we see them the mild gripe that we have with them. But for now, and honestly, like, see the way that they've been acting throughout this episode as well, it like kind of makes me. And also, I think it also helps that they have that third guy there that's not there, like, after this. Because like, I think he's quite... He almost seems to be, like, the proper kind of... the guy that they want to talk to. Like, almost like, oh, he's, like, the down-to-earth one that will speak to us properly, where the other two will kind of keep in character. Because he always seems to be the main one that talks to the camera throughout all these bits.
Absolutely.
So maybe it was him. Maybe as soon as he left, it's when it all changed.
Maybe.
But, maybe. It's a conspiracy.
We will only find out in a few hundred episodes time when we get back to Robot Wars. Before that, however, we still have Robot Wars to reveal to cover, and we have two episodes left this season.
Three? No, four. Alright, you mean two episodes?
We do, yes.
Okay. Well, fuck that whole thing up. Never mind. Bye. Shut up, Grim. Grizz, that's my name.
No, it's Graham now.
No. Can't do this.
Graham.
You've already dropped my name. You've already dropped my fucking real living name enough in these episodes.
Yes, that must be really difficult for you to have your real name plastered over everywhere.
I know.
Keep telling that to Alan Sharp.
Joseph.
That's my middle name, don't wear it out. Alright. So, we'll be back in a week's time. Bye-bye!
Bye!